Welcome to the Five Pastors. Many voices are calling for your attention, but only one small voice has promised to guide you through the challenges of life if you allow it. That's the voice of the Bible. Lighthouse FM Radio presents these messages to help shine light on your path of life. Join us now as Pastor John Murley shares today's message.
Well, today we are on sermon number 3 of our series that we've been working on called The Problem. And it's the problem that we all have. It's the problem of our mouth that often gets us into trouble. We've talked about the problem of complaining. We've talked about the problem of criticizing. And today we're going to be talking about another very important topic, the topic of lying. Now, the story is told of an old pastor who was white-haired, well up in years, who preached at his church one particular Sunday. And as he preached at his church, he told the congregation, "For next week, we are having a special message. And what I want you to do is I want you to go home this week and I want you to read a particular passage of Scripture. And the passage of Scripture that I want you to read, which is going to be our meditation for next week, is Mark chapter 17, verses 4-9. So the next week came, the pastor got in the pulpit, and he said, "I wonder how many of you this week actually did your homework? How many of you have read the passage that I assigned?" Hands went up all over the auditorium. And then the pastor announced, "Today's message is about lying because there is no Mark 17 in the Bible." That's a good way of saying that church folks are no different than the people in the world. We lie. Church folk lie. Pastors lie, conference presidents lie, we all lie. That's a reality. You may look at me with eyes that are big and bold right now, but it is the truth. Today, we are going to take a look at the topic of lying, and studies show 91% of people surveyed say they lie routinely about matters that they consider to be trivial. 36% lie about important matters. 86% of people lie to their parents. 75% lie to their friends. 73% lie to their siblings. And 69% lie to their spouses. I'm tempted to ask you a question. How many of you lie? Don't raise your hand, just your conscience. It's a problem, isn't it? We all recognize it's a problem. One of the commandments is very clear, right? Thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, thou shalt not lie. It's a commandment. It's in the Word of God. But did you know that the problem of lying originated in heaven? Absolutely it did. In fact, we are told that the problem originated in heaven when Satan lied about God and about God's character and went around and began to gossip, began to complain, and began to criticize. You see, all of these sermons fit together. And this is where it originated, when Satan lied about God's character to the angels of heaven. But it wasn't long before the problem of lying came to earth. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 4, the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not surely die." That, my friends, is the biggest whopper that's ever been told. But that's not the only lie. Just a little later in Genesis chapter 4, verse 9, the Lord said to Cain, "Where is Abel thy brother?" And he said, "I know not. Am I my brother's keeper?" He had just murdered his brother. And here he is lying to God. We have other examples. Sarah lied to the angel, you know, and Sarah denied it, saying, "I laugh not," because she was afraid. And the angel said to her, "Nay, but you did laugh." We lie to God. We lie to the angels. We lie to each other. Jacob deceived and lied to his father. He said, "I'm Esau, your firstborn." No, he wasn't. He lied. The terrible consequences that came to that family as a result of the lies that were told. We see it again in the story of Joseph. Those brothers who had captured their brother and had beat him up and threw him down into a cistern and then had sold him to a slave traders going down to Egypt. And they said, "What are we going to do?" And so they took his tunic, and they came up with this ingenious plan. They dipped it in blood and they carried it home so that their father could see that something bad had happened to the boy. And they come to the father and says, "We have found this. Do you know if it is your son's tunic or not?" They knew exactly whose tunic it was. They were lying to their father about what they had really done. Then we have the prophet, the man of God, the prophet's servant, who lies to Naaman. Naaman had come and had been dipped in the river, and he was offering all kinds of gifts to the prophet, that the prophet said, "Nay, nay, nay, I don't need any of these. You take them all back with you." A little ways down the road, the prophet's servant comes running. He says, "My master has sent me, saying, 'Indeed, just now, two young men of the sons of the prophets have come to me from the mountains. Please give them a talent of silver and two changes of garments.'" The prophet did not say that. He was doing it for his own benefit and for his own good. Then, of course, we see it in the New Testament. The Apostle Peter, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, denied with an oath, cursing and swearing, "I do not know the man." And yet Peter had been one of the closest to the Lord for the past 3 years. And we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira in the scriptures. And Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God." There are lots of examples in the scripture of people who lied. Some of them are big whoppers, and some of them are not so big. Some of them are meant to deceive, and some of them are meant to allow the individual to receive rewards. In fact, I have surveyed the scriptures, and I have found that there are these four types of lies that are found in the scriptures. And I would submit to you that they are found in many of us today as well. You see, some in the scriptures lied to other people. We have examples of that. Some lied to themselves. Some lied to the Holy Spirit, and some lied directly to God. And I want to show you exactly how God feels, because this is a serious, serious subject. Revelation, the 21st chapter, verse 8. Here's what it says. It says, "But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and," you're pretty quiet, "all liars shall have their part in the lake with burns, with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." I would submit to you that's a pretty serious thing. How does God view lying? The same as unbelieving, cowards, abominable people, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, adulterers. Liars are lumped in there with them. I would submit to you that God takes lying very seriously. In fact, Proverbs chapter 12, verses 19 to 22 says this, "Or the truthful lip shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is for a moment." Lying lips are what? An abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are His delight. You see, the Lord detests it when we lie, but He rejoices when we tell the truth. In fact, the Hebrew word that is here, that is translated, "the Lord detests." Let me share with you this. In the original language of Hebrews chapter 12, it means, the word is translated "ivah." Ivah. And it means something disgusting. It means something that's an abhorrence, something that is absolutely an abomination. It means something that makes someone nauseated. It's that bad. So what does the Hebrew say in this verse? Those of us who lie make God sick. I like the richness of the text that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul says this, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Paul is saying, stop telling lies. Tell each other the truth. He says, we're all part of the same body. Consider the damage that is done when we are not truthful with one another, when we are not truthful with our spouse, when we're not truthful with our children, when we're not truthful with our neighbors, with our colleagues at work, when we're not truthful. Think of the damage that has been done. How many of you have been found out in a lie? See, the reality is, folks, the scripture is clear on this, that our sins will be found out eventually. Oh, you can tell a lie, but then you've got to tell another lie to cover up for the lie that you told, and then you've got to tell another lie, and there are about 10 different versions of truth that run around. But somewhere in the middle of all of that, there's truth, but everything else is a lie. And that's how our world operates. It has been said by one famous preacher that you may never be more like the devil than when you allow yourself to tell a lie. Jesus would most likely agree with that statement. In John chapter 8, verse 44, notice what Jesus says. He is talking and he says, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies," notice the words of Jesus now, "he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." Perhaps one of the reasons why God hates lying so much, because lying originated with his spiritual enemy, who also happens to be our enemy, the prince of darkness, the great deceiver. And what is the number one weapon of the great deceiver? Lies, deceit. The opposite is that Jesus is the truth, and the truth sets us free. The devil is a liar, and he uses lies to take us out of the freedom of God's truth. I want to show you briefly what I believe is a three-point plan that Satan uses when it comes to lying. And I'd like you, and I would like me, to take a look at our own lives. The first thing is that Satan desires to get you to lie to other people. At the very foundation, to just start you speaking his native language, speaking the language of our enemy, he wants you to lie. It could be something as simple as exaggerating a story to make yourself look better, but it's not the truth. All fishermen, I have discovered, are liars. I went fishing one time, and I caught number of fish. And one of my friends said, "Yeah, did you catch any big ones?" "Well, you should have seen the whopper, man. It was like this and about that thick." But just as I was about to pull it ashore, it broke off and it swam away. It's an exaggeration, but it's a lie. And this is one of the ways that the devil gets us to lie, by practicing exaggeration. I have a problem with this. How many people were in church last Sabbath, Pastor? I don't know, about 200? No, there wasn't. There was about 120. Still a lie. It's an exaggeration. It's not the truth. It could be something as simple as cheating on a test. I'm guilty of that. Anybody ever study Greek or Hebrew? Good. Well, one person. All right. One person. Isn't it difficult? Did you find it difficult? Hey, I come from Newfoundland. We're used to dropping our H's and putting vowels here and consonants there and stuff like that. But man, I'm going to tell you, when it comes to Hebrew, and the whole word can be changed by just a little tiny little mark. Isn't that right? The whole word. So the test is coming up, and it's an open book test. And the open book is the Bible, but it's a Hebrew Bible. And so we've been looking at this book all the things, and I'm looking at this thing. And so I thought to myself, I'll put a mark here and I'll put a mark there to remind me. I passed the test, but I used the information I had put in there and I cheated. I lied. I wasn't able to recall it from memory. I had to depend upon something else. Could be lying about where you are. This happens a lot with kids, especially teenagers. Where were you? When I was a dean at Berman or CUC back in those days, kids would go out on Friday night. We'd get a phone call from somebody who tip us off that, "Hey, there's a bunch of kids that just went into the bar down in Red Deer." "Oh, really?" Yeah. "You'll be watching for them now. They'll be coming back soon." And that's exactly how the voice sounded. But sure enough, at about 1 o'clock in the morning, a vehicle would pull up. A bunch of kids would get out. "Hey, where you guys been?" "Oh, we were just over at a friend's house." "Really? How come you smell like cigarette smoke?" "Oh, well, their dad smokes and, you know, it's probably all over our clothes everywhere." "Yeah? Well, does he drink too? Because you sure reek of booze, right?" We lie to get out of trouble. Good Christians lie to get out of speeding tickets. Come on now. Am I speaking truth? You could be making up something about someone that you don't like and figure it's kind of maybe partly true. And so, you know, you heard about Blaine, right? You know, Blaine is, you know, boy, you got to watch him, right? And you plant that seed. And what happens? You lie to other people. You lie to yourself. And this is exactly what happened to King David. King David one night was not where he was supposed to be. He was home. He was supposed to be at war. He was supposed to be with the men on the battlefield. But here he is up on his rooftop, not able to sleep. And he looks out and he sees a naked woman taking a bath. The Hebrew is Raha. He saw her and he said to his servant, "Go get her." He brought the woman to David. David committed adultery with the woman. And then he started lying to cover up his sins. He told one lie, then he told another lie. And then he eventually devised a plan, basically to trick the woman's husband to come back home and sleep with his wife so that when she showed up, you know, in a few months with a nice round belly, obviously pregnant, that everybody would say, well, it's obviously the husband's. He was home from the battlefront. But the husband would not give in to that plan. And so David sent word to Uriah to put that man at the front of the battle. And then when the battle was at its fiercest, to pull back from that man and to allow him to die in the battlefield. Later on, along comes the prophet Nathan. He comes to King David and he says, "Hey, King, I got a story I got to tell you." "Oh," David said, "I like stories. Tell me." He said, "Once upon a time, there was a very rich and powerful man who had more wealth and herds and animals than you could imagine. There was also this poor man who had only one little lamb, and his kids loved this little lamb, and it was like a little pet to the man. And one day, the hungry person came to the rich man's house, and instead of killing one of his own animals to feed the man, he took the poor guy's lamb and killed it, fed it to the hungry guy. David looked on at this prophet Nathan and the story he was telling, and he was disgusted. "That's the worst thing I've ever heard. The rich man should be put to death for this. He must pay for this." You are that man. In fact, in the Hebrew, the word that's used is Adaish. Adaish. It's you. You're that person, David. Oh, my brothers and sisters, some of you today, let me warn you, some of you today, the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to you, and the Holy Spirit is saying, Adaish, it's you. In our congregation, there are those within our congregation who lie. There is none of us that are without sin. And if you're a man, Adaish, if you're a woman, Adaisha, you are the one who have been lying to others. And now you're lying to yourself. You deceived yourself and you're living apart from God's word. So what does the enemy want to do? He wants us to speak his native language. It is a language of lies that he specializes in. He is the father of lies. There's no truth in him. And if he can convince you of a lie, even in your own life, he can take you away from the truth of God. Because lies and truth cannot exist together. So what does he want you to do? Number one, he wants you to lie to others. Number two, he wants you to lie to yourself. What am I talking about? I'm talking about claiming to be one thing, but living something entirely different. Now let's talk about the practical application of that for us today. We call ourselves Christians. We say that we love Jesus, that he's Lord and Savior of our life. But how do we live our life when nobody is looking? How do we live our life when nobody is around? What do we say to our wives and to our children when there's nobody else present? How do we conduct our business? Are we open? Are we transparent? Are we honest? Or do we make ourselves look good by telling ourselves lies? But the truth is, you're not perfect. You're lonely, you're depressed, and you're uncomfortable. It might be that at church, everyone thinks you have a perfect marriage. You look the part, you even go home together, but when you get home, there's problems. The devil wants us to tell lies. He wants us to believe our own lies, and he wants us to live a lie. This, quite honestly, and if it doesn't feel serious yet, this is where it might even feel a little bit more serious, because this is one of my greatest fears. the devil is a deceiver. And the fact that you go to church now and then, the fact that you go to church once in a while, some of us are led to believe that we're Christians because we do that. But when you look into the mirror and you really look at your life, is there any evidence to find you guilty of living a spiritual life? This keeps me awake at night, because if there's anything that I could say as a pastor is this. I pray that when people look at me, that they will see that I'm authentic. I pray that people will look at me and see that I'm real. That what Marilyn sees at home is the same as what she sees when I'm standing up here. Because here's what the scripture says. 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. And that hits me, because I fail miserably at this every single day. I get angry. I get frustrated. I get wounded. I get hurt. And the most natural tendency when we feel those things is to lash out. And yet it is Jesus who taught us in the good book that if somebody offends us, we're to turn the other cheek, to love those who hate us, to treat others in the way that he would have us treat them. Whoever says, I know God, but doesn't do what he commands, is a liar. Let that roll around in the recesses of your brain for just a few moments and understand that God is calling us to an authentic relationship, not a make-believe one. Because you see, when we know God, we're different. Many of us will say, hey, Pastor, hang on a second. I'm not a bad person, okay? But this verse confronts us. It drives home to us. So let's ask the question, why do we lie? Why is it that we lie? We're God's children. We call ourselves Christians. We follow the Bible. We keep the commandments. We go to Sabbath school. We go to church. Some of us go to midweek prayer meeting. We give tithe. But many of us lie. I would submit to you that we lie for different reasons. To protect other people's feelings. Guilty as charged. My wife comes to me, what do you think of this dress? And I think about it. Does she want the truth? Or does she want to hear what she wants to hear? And so I say to her, honey, that dress fits you well. I don't talk about the fact that the color does nothing for her. Because she's picked it out already, so she's got it on. So it's her choice, but it fits you well. You see, sometimes we lie to protect other people's feelings. Sometimes we lie to make ourselves feel better. Sometimes somebody will say to us, oh, Pastor, you look like you've lost a few pounds. Well, yeah, thank you very much. I've been working on it. No, I haven't. This is all natural, baby. Right? Sometimes we lie to make ourselves look better. We don't think about the other person. We just try to make ourselves look better. Can I submit this to you? The reason why we lie. When we recognize the root reason, then you can bring truth to the root and you can find healing. This week, I've been reading a book on the Ten Commandments. And in my devotional time this week, I came to chapter 9, which is the chapter that deals with lying and bearing false witness. And here's a statement that I came across in this book that I believe that is true for most of us. And here's what the author says. It's simply called the Ten Commandments. The root reason why most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. The root reason why most of us lie is because we don't completely trust God. We believe that the lie oftentimes will work better than the truth. The lie might keep us safe. If I tell a lie, perhaps I won't get in trouble. But suddenly, when we lie, we're actually not safe because we're trying to build a life that's based on lies. And that's much, much more difficult than trying to build on the truth. It may be that we think that if I tell a lie, you might like me better. The reason many of us lie is because we really don't trust God. I want to make it as simple as I can. The devil is the father of lies, and his native language is lying. And his greatest tool that he uses against Christians and against mankind is that very thing, the practice of deception and lying. The truth is found in chapter 8 of John, chapter 32, verse 32. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. My question this morning is, do you know the truth? Jesus Christ. It is Satan who wants us to believe a lie. It is Satan who wants us to live lives that are filled with lies of deception. But Jesus wants us to walk in truth, to experience the truth, and the truth will set us free. I love this text because there's hope for all of us. I claim this text almost every single day because, frankly, I struggle with this, as I suspect some of you do as well. But I go to this text over and over and over again. I've memorized it to heart. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from, it says all? That's a powerful text. That puts us back on the side of truth. See, when we're lying, we're over here on the devil's side, because he's the father of lies. But when we confess our sins to God and we ask for forgiveness, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And then we move over into the truth side. One final text, James chapter 5 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. I don't have a problem standing in front of you and telling you that I'm a sinner. I don't have a problem sitting in front of you and telling you that, yes, I've done wrong, and no, I'm not great, and you should never emulate me, but rather I would be pointing you to Jesus. Because when Christ looks at me and sees my sinful, messy life, and He notices that I have prayed that prayer, believing that if I confess my sins that He will forgive me, then He does. He's faithful and just. He will do it. And you know what that brings? It brings healing. It brings healing to know that there's nothing between you and me. It brings healing to know that there's nothing between me and God. You see, that's what was happening in the Garden of Eden when the Bible says that God created man and woman and they were both naked. There was nothing hidden between them. It means that there was nothing that was barring a relationship. And that's what I want to be, naked before God. I want to be living my life in such a way that God can look at me and say, there's my son in whom I'm well pleased. My prayer for you and I today is this, that you and I will never be the type of people who people will believe in only to discover after the fact that you were a lie. May God bless you. Father, thank you that you are the God that you are, a God who dispenses grace, who leads us to truth. And Father, when we sin, we find ourselves so often, O God, feeling bad, feeling oppressed, feeling guilt, and feeling fear. But you have told us to come to you and that you would forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. So that means, Lord, that when we do that, we are free. So, Lord, help us not to live in bondage. Help us not to live in fear. Help us not to live in oppression. Help us not to live a life of lies, but rather of truth, because your truth will set us free. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us on The Five Pastors. Tonight's speaker was Pastor John Murley. If you would like more information on what you heard in this message, feel free to email us, voar@voar.org. This is the place, Monday to Friday at 10 p.m., for inspiring messages on The Five Pastors.